Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Got through the field. He's got through. 35, 30.
Want to get no punch. Broken intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants.
Welcome to Tuesday's edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live here on Giants.com. Alongside Anita Marks, I'm Lance Meadow with you for the next 60 minutes. We'll get to your phone calls at 201-939-4513. If you can't get to the phones, you want to chime in on the conversation, you can interact with us on Twitter using hashtag GiantsChat. Hopefully everyone had a restful and enjoyable Memorial Day weekend. We are back to work here at the Giants facility, and it's going to be a very productive week for the Giants as OTAs will start tomorrow. So we will certainly start to set the scene for that, and we'll also review the latest with respect to Will Beatty's injury as he is going to be out at least 5 months due to that torn pectoral muscle.
Do you really relax on Memorial Day? You party, you hang out at the beach, you like go to the pool, you drink beer. I played golf. Played two rounds yesterday, by the way.
Making the most of it.
I am. I mean, it's not often I get a day off. But nonetheless, I mean, you know, like, I just don't look at Memorial Day weekend as relaxing. It's like one big party, and then it's like Tuesday. It's like, oh, I've got to go to work.
Is it partying a form of relaxing and letting loose, not working, not stressing out, maybe, and so forth?
Maybe. I mean, I hear the word relaxing. I'm thinking, like, just lounging, you know, watching, like, the entire series of Daredevil or something like that on my couch. You know what I mean? Like, that's like, but anyway, nonetheless, hopefully everybody had a great Memorial Day weekend. The weather was absolutely beautiful. And as you said, I'm really excited for this OTA number four, count it four, that starts tomorrow. So, and I think what's really exciting about it, Lance, is the fact that you've got now like the veterans coming together with the rookies to kind of see how everything kind of jives. And it's neat. Like, and again, for folks out there, I know, you know, we've been covering sports for a while. It's kind of the best way I can describe it, especially for the rookies, is like if you recall like the first day of school, right? Like, I don't know about you, but, like, I had to make sure, like, my outfit was perfect. And, you know, it's, like, especially not only is it a new day of school, but, like, when you made that leap from junior high to high school and, like, you're coming in, you're meeting the new people and you want to make a good impression. And that's kind of, like, that's the vibe for a lot of these rookies coming in and trying to kind of vibe and be a part of this team. It's a little nerve-wracking. So tomorrow's going to be interesting.
I think it helped, though, that they had rookie minicamp this year as opposed to last year. So that at least gave the rookies that were signed to or undrafted, as well as the rookies that were drafted, an opportunity to at least get familiar with the facility, get familiar with the coaching staff, understand what the organization's goals are and so forth. But you're right, this is going to be the first taste of the rookies and the vets being on the field at the same time. And this is also the time period where guys can start competing for jobs. And I think that's probably the most interesting thing to look out for starting tomorrow. It will also be the first opportunity for us to see how the offensive line is going to be laid out with the absence of Will Beatty. Now, we don't know who else is going to be ready to go day one here for OTAs. Jeff Schwartz is obviously coming off an injury. Not exactly sure how many guys are going to go full force, but, you know, this will at least give some of these players an opportunity to see, hey, you know, there's an opening at left tackle, there's an opening at this position. I have a legitimate shot to start making a statement on Wednesday to prove to the coaching staff that I deserve an opportunity, perhaps be in the mix once the preseason starts.
So what's the one position that is up for competition that you're most excited to watch?
Well, I would say the offensive line certainly has to be one of them, given
especially
the fact
now.
That, correct, that Will Beatty is out. So what they're going to do at left tackle, are they going to move certain players around? That, to me, is probably one of the biggest storylines to keep close tabs on. Outside of the offensive line, since everybody tends to focus on the offensive line, I'd probably go with the linebacker position as well as the safety position. Those would be the other two to look out for as we get into the depths of OTAs. The safety position is key and need, obviously, because you got a young guys that are probably going to have a shot to automatically grab a starting job with both veterans last year, no longer with the team, Stevie Brown and Antrell Roll. So, you know, where do they align? Landon Collins? Does Michael Thompson have an opportunity? How do they utilize Nat Burhey and Cooper Taylor? You have four, you know, relatively young safeties in the mix. That would probably be number two behind the offensive line. And then I would go to the linebacker spot only because somebody is probably going to be utilized at different positions just as an insurance policy in case John Beeson gets hurt again.
And also, don't forget, you're going to have a competition at the tight end position as well. You know, as well as Larry Donnell did last year. You know, there was a reason why the Giants have brought in you know, some more talent, and I think that's going to be some fun competition there.
I would say, though, it's definitely Larry Donnell's position to lose at this point. Mm-hmm. He certainly goes in as the front runner, but they did bring in a few new names that obviously I think puts pressure on not just Donnell, Anita. You have Adrian Robinson, who is still a young player, but is still looking for that statement type of period where you can show some consistency and you can prove that you can be a two-way tight end. And then you also have, you know, some veterans in the mix, too, in terms of what they brought to the table, like a guy like Daniel Fells last year, who was very productive to complement Larry Donnell. So, you know, I think the back end of the depth chart would probably be an area to watch when you focus on specifically the tight end position. 201-939-4513 is the telephone number. 201-939-4513. Hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter. We're going to open up the phone lines. You want to get into a variety of different storylines. As Anita and I mentioned, you have the start of OTAs getting ready on Wednesday. Is there a position that you are going to focus on as you start to see the depth chart come out and so forth? And if you want to weigh in on Will Beatty's injury, who perhaps would be first one up at left tackle?
This is your my first chance to really talk about this. And what a hit, unfortunately, a horrible hit for this Giants organization moving in, because this was the big topic of conversation, right, going into the draft. Yes, they do bring in Marshall Newhouse from Cincinnati, but slated really to kind of be a backup on the offensive line. Felt really confident after the draft going out and getting Eric Flowers. Felt that left side of the line was pretty much set. And now this happens, and there's some big question marks here, because not sure exactly how the Giants move forward, right? Either Newhouse possibly having to step up to be a starter. You go out, and you and I have had this conversation. I'm a really strong believer that your first-round draft pick should start in the NFL, but is it too much to ask for Flowers to start on Eli's blind side on the left-hand side as opposed to a right tackle? That might be too much. Do you plan on moving over Justin Pugh? There's so much talk about his short arms and whatnot. How will that translate in the right tackle position, the left tackle position, as opposed to the right tackle position? There are a number of variables here that the Giants can take. And then don't forget, this is something we talked about in regard to the safety position all season long, and that is, you know, there will be offensive linemen that are cut throughout training camp. And so there might be a veteran out there who's on somebody else's roster that might end up on the Giants roster. You never know. But it's going to be interesting to see how this all plays out. But again, just the biggest hit is the offensive line, as we know, going into the draft was one of the biggest needs. They answered the call on it, but then now yet we kind of feel like we're back to step one in a sense, because chances are this organization isn't going to have Will Beatty healthy until November. Fingers crossed if we're lucky.
Well, it's the third straight season where they have suffered a significant injury to the offensive line, whether it be OTAs, preseason, or the beginning of the regular season. Remember, David Deal gets hurt. Justin Pugh steps into the starting lineup. Jeff Schwartz goes down. Weston Richburg steps into the starting lineup. Now, unfortunately, Will Beatty gets hurt. Who is to step into him? That remains to be seen. As Anita mentioned, I think you do have three options in Pugh, Newhouse, as well as Eric Flowers. Do they move somebody from tackle to guard? Does that open up an opportunity elsewhere? That obviously will continue to play out with the start of OTAs on Wednesday. You also mentioned perhaps they'll look on the free agent market, and the Giants, like any other team, continue to do their homework there. But, you know, if you wait for a guy to get cut out of training camp, Anita, I think the important part of building the offensive line is continuity and chemistry. And it starts tomorrow with OTAs. You want to start to get focused on the five players that you envision you're going to have out on the field in week number one. If you're banking on somebody getting cut during training camp, even if you bring them in, they're going to then have to build chemistry and continuity with the offensive line. So I think priority number one is let's look at internal options. Let's try to get the five best options out there so that this way, barring injury, we know at least we feel good about those five.
But do you really think I think the Giants have an idea of what they want to do. But, I mean, do you really make a decision until you see how these five components play out? So again, OTAs tomorrow, I think it's going to be really interesting, really intriguing to see who the starting five are and who they do place at that left tackle position. Just to kind of give an idea of, you know, what the Giants would like to do and how that develops. Obviously, only time will tell, but all eyes here, and I'm sure all the media that's going to be here at the facility tomorrow will be paying attention to who those starting five are and who is the one player that the Giants do line up at left tackle.
And like I said, I don't know if we're really going to see the five that they envision, because keep in mind, Jeff Schwartz is coming off an injury too. I don't know how hard they're going to work him at the beginning of OTAs. So, you know, you may see an alignment that is just basically patchwork at this point, where they're just experimenting and fitting players in until maybe everybody's fully healthy and ready to go to compete for jobs. But at least tomorrow, you're right, one of the big storylines will be, okay, who gets that first spot at left tackle? Is it going to be Flowers? Is it going to be maybe moving Pugh over? Will Marshall Newhouse be slid in? Will it be somebody else that maybe we didn't envision? That will certainly be something to keep close tabs on. All right, let's open up the phone lines here on Tuesday's edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live. She's Anita Marks. I'm Lance Meadow. We start with Jason in New Jersey. Jason, what's happening?
Hey, can you hear me?
I hear you loud and clear, Jason. What do you have?
Yeah, I just wanted to say about the offensive line. Everybody's making such a big deal about the BD injury, but in my opinion, from a football perspective, it's actually, his injury is kind of a blessing in disguise, because I feel like it removes the possibility of Pugh playing guard, because with BD's injury, now you have your two tackles as Flowers and Pugh, and I never bought into the idea of Pugh being a guard, because in Ben McAdoo's offense, what he wants out of his guards, the number one thing he wants out of his guards is their ability to set the pocket, as in anchor. Because you look at the guards they signed since Ben McAdoo came over. They signed Jeff Schwartz, John Jerry, and now they drafted Bobby Hart. What do these guys have in common? They're 330, 340 pounders that have powerful anchor points. Now, the reason why I say the Will Beattie injury is a blessing in disguise is because now you get Jeff Schwartz and John Jerry as your two guards, your two guards that can stop any interior push or pressure up the middle, and you have your tackles and Flowers and Pugh. I think that's a better lineup than having Pugh at guard, because I think if you put Pugh at guard, if he lines up against, you know, like the heavier bulldozing defensive tackles, I think he's going to get rocked back. I think he's going to get pushed back into the pocket, and you don't want pressure in Eli's face. So the reason why everybody's poo-pooing John Jerry, right? So he's like the whipping boy now. But if you really go back and look at the tape of 2014, John Jerry was probably the most important offensive lineman to the passing game, because he, first of all, the line slid left a lot. So you had the center sliding left with the creating a three-on-two. So the center, the left guard, and Will Beattie, the left tackle, blocking two guys. And you had John Jerry on an island, one-on-one against his defensive tackle, and then Justin Pugh on an island. So the thing with John Jerry is, yes, he's not a great run blocker, but what he can do is he can you can leave him on an island one-on-one against a defensive tackle, and he will not give up any depth into the pocket. He will anchor and seal the pocket for
well,
Eli.
Jason, the alignment that you went with, I mean, it's a possibility, but I would disagree with you slightly. I don't think it's ever a blessing in disguise when you lose your top left tackle. So, I mean, I understand you're trying to make a positive spin to this, but we don't know what the Giants are envisioning their offensive line to be. And, you know, you laid out one option. For all we know, Pugh moves to guard, and that opens up the door for Flowers and Newhouse to be the tackles, as opposed to necessarily leaving Pugh at tackle. There's so many different variables in play right now. I think, and I go back to the principle that I've thrown out a lot on this show, you get the five best offensive linemen out there. And if they feel that they can move players to different positions, they have enough time to get used to that, then so be it. But you want your five best options on the field at the same time, and that's what this competition over the next few months is all going to be about.
Yeah, I agree with that, but I don't see Marshall Newhouse starting. I think they signed him as a swing tackle, and right now he's still a swing tackle because he's behind Pugh and Newhouse. I mean, Pugh has never played guard in his career. In college, he's a three-year starter, a left tackle. He's been a right tackle in the NFL, so everybody assumed that he would be a better guard, but that's just projecting. I don't see him. Maybe in the old offense, he would be a better guard because he can pull and move and do all that stuff, but not in Ben McAdoo's offense, where the number one skill set he wants out of his guards is to be able to set the pocket, meaning to be able to anchor strong against the defensive tackles that are trying to push the pocket and get into Eli's face. That's what he wants out of his guards. So I think if you have Jeff Schwartz and John Jerry there, you form a wall up the middle for Eli to step up and throw, and I think it's not that big of a loss. We'll be.
Be careful when you preface it like that. You're talking about one of the keystones, the key cornerstones of this offensive line over the last few years, and you're talking about a player that's coming off a big bounce back year after having some ups and downs in 2013, which ended with a season-ending injury. Well, Beattie was by far one of their best offensive linemen last season, and the numbers prove that. And appreciate the phone call, Jason.
Hey,
thanks so much for weighing in.
I want to throw in this tweet, and this is from Chris_330. Not many people are talking about Jeff Schwartz possibly moving to right tackle. I think that's our best bet given his experience. And you know what? You're absolutely right. I've had several conversations with Jeff Schwartz. He feels he can play tackle as well as he can play guard, and he would be an option there. And, you know, I share this tweet not only to kind of throw Jeff Schwartz's name in the mix, but also to make a point that, you know, one thing the Giants organization always pride themselves with, Lance, is drafting offensive linemen that are versatile. You know, offensive linemen that can play center, that can play guard. Guards that can play tackle as well, it's something that I think if they didn't have that as a value when they do look at linemen, this situation would be a lot worse. I mean, at least we're sitting here talking about players that are already on this roster that we can slot in at that left tackle position, as opposed to sitting here and saying, wow, what are we going to do? I know that there's a few tweets about Jake Long being available, but apparently he's just not 100% healthy right now. It's not like this organization's back is totally against the wall. At least it has options. And the reason it does have options is because, you know, they go out and they draft. It's so important to draft players that can play a number of positions on the offensive line.
Well, they drafted three offensive linemen in three consecutive years, as you mentioned, and a number of them have versatility. Richburg, for example, he was drafted as a center. He played guard last year.
Exactly. And keep in mind, Brent Jones, to me, is the really interesting factor here. Okay, he comes over from the CFL. CFL Offensive Lineman of the Year last year. Can play the center position. What if, I'm just throwing this out here, what if Brent Jones wins the center position and then you have the ability to put Richburg at one of the guard positions? I mean, how great would that be? So, again, you know, it's as you said, we started the show, what is the one position you're looking most forward to in regard to the competition? Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, there's, you know, obviously there's safety. Obviously there's tight end. Obviously there's linebacker. But probably because of Will Beattie's injury, none more interesting and exciting to watch to see how those five play out and who the starting five will be regular season game one on that offensive line.
Well, and as you alluded to, Anita, I think the fact that you have a number of internal options puts the Giants at least in a good position as they get set to enter OTAs. That's why the last option right now is, you know, who another team may cut. I mean, those are all hypotheticals. Right now, the Giants are looking internally, and they have a number of players that have played tackle. They have a number of players that have played guard. Perhaps they'll move players out of position. Perhaps they'll keep players where they are and just slide one guy into Beattie's spot and not play a game of musical chairs. That's always an option, too. Now, I understand everybody's trying to play offensive line coach at this point because we're going into tomorrow not knowing what the Giants are thinking at this point. I guess that's part of what makes it exciting as we get set to once again talk about the X's and O's. Let's head back to the phone lines here at 201-939-4513. Hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter. We'll also get to your tweets as we take you along till the top of the hour. Let's check in with Vic in Florida. Vic, what's happening?
Hey, good afternoon, Anita and Lance.
Good afternoon to you.
I have a question and a statement. The offensive line now, wouldn't they be able to move Pugh at left tackle and leave Flowers at right tackle, since left tackle position is the most important one, you know, on the offensive line? I would envision that scenario with John Jerry, Schwartz, and Richburg. What do you guys think about that?
Listen, that's an option that's been thrown out there. But, you know, Pugh gets just destroyed at times in regard to his short arm length and how that was going to transition from college to the pros at the right tackle position. You move him over to the left tackle position, now he's going up against some of the best defensive linemen in the industry. So could he get away with maybe not having the physique of a tackle player, more of a guard on the right side as opposed to the left side? I don't know. I mean, but listen, that's going to be an option. And tomorrow, tomorrow will be really, I think a big tell-all in regard to what the Giants want to do. Who do they line up in the left tackle position when they take the field in OTA tomorrow with the veterans and the rookies here? That will be interesting, and therefore I think I'm on with Paul Dottino on Friday. Well, wait a minute. No, Thursday. So your Thursday show. You're on Thursday.
Yes. Correct.
Okay. So your Thursday show is going to be a really exciting one because you'll after tomorrow you will have a lot to talk about.
Depending on obviously what a showcase, we don't know exactly who's going to be thrown out there. But getting back to Vic's question/statement, Vic, Pugh played left tackle in college, so he has the experience to play that position. I think that's always an option. And as you mentioned, Eric Flowers, which happens with a lot of players that have played left tackle in college, sometimes start out at right tackle before they all of a sudden move over to left tackle. So, I mean, I don't think you're stretching with your hypothetical, but I think that's one of many different options that the Giants probably are considering right now.
Right, right. And the other thing I wanted to say, I think the player that is going to make a statement in the OTA at tight end, as far as I'm concerned, and I really believe so, it's Lacoste, the kid from
the tight end from
Illinois.
Yeah,
but I think he's going to do good. Anyway, guys, thank you for taking my call. That's all I really wanted to say. Have a good day, and we'll chat with you later.
All right, Bye-bye. Vic. Appreciate the phone call. Thanks so much for weighing in. Lacoste, one of the undrafted free agents that the Giants brought in. He took part in rookie minicamp, and that's why I referenced the back end of the depth chart at tight end is something to watch, because that's when maybe a guy like Lacoste could come in, make an impact, and perhaps solidify a job on this roster.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
He certainly has the physique to be somebody of note to watch. Let's head back to the phone lines. Javon is in New Jersey. Javon, what's happening?
Hi, guys. First, let me just say that I listen to the show just about every night, but I don't get a chance to call in because I'm listening to it at nighttime in archives. So you guys do a great job.
Well, appreciate that. Thanks so much for listening.
First of all, to the whole, and I know I'm completely late with this, but I just have to remark to Anita in regard to the men not being as superstitious as women. I think you might have learned something there.
Yeah, I think so, right? Unbelievable the amount of calls that we got and men calling in saying that they were going online and voting for Gronk because they were really superstitious and they didn't even want Odell on the cover of Madden. That was unbelievable.
Exactly. And, you know, our quarterback is quite superstitious. If you listen to some of the things that Eli says about, you know, remember when they had the chip? He would leave it here. He's not really superstitious, but he's a little suspicious. And his wife now, but his then fiance had to sit at a particular place in the stadium when he played. You know, he's very superstitious also. So I just wanted to throw that out there. In regard to the offensive line and Flowers in particular, I'm a little concerned because I keep reading about his technique and all of this, you know, talk about his technique, although I did also read about prior or former Giants players saying that our offensive line coach is really good with working with rookies. But, you know, I just don't want Eli to get hurt. So, and I also understand that, you know, he's a first-round pick. He's got to be in there. But if he ain't ready, he ain't ready. And I don't want them to throw him out there and risk Eli getting hurt. I think this is the worst possible, going back to another topic that you guys had, and I really should figure out how to call in, sneak calls in so I'm not so far behind. But in my estimation, the most important person who should have been, you know, playing this year on the offense was Will Beatty and played really well. So now, uh-oh.
We hear you.
And that's all I got. Thank
okay.
you.
All right, Javon, appreciate the phone call. Thanks so much for weighing in.
You know, and just to make a comment about Will Beatty, you know, it was amazing. I think because he played so well, I think we kind of forgot he was coming off of a knee injury, and a pretty severe one at that, and did not really have kind of a fallback at all. So I did not really know what to expect from Will Beatty last year. And one of the knocks on Will Beatty is that – He doesn't heal quickly. He's not fast enough to get back out there on the field. But sure enough, he did, and he performed well. I think Paul said that he only gave up like maybe 4 sacks this year. I want to say Paul said the other day. So, you know, again, they're dancing bears, so I don't think they get enough attention. But I'm a big fan of Will Beatty. I think he's really important. I think he's underestimated. I don't think enough fans really kind of appreciate his value on this offensive line. I don't think this is a blessing in disguise at all, whoever that caller was who called. I think this is a pretty big hit, and I think this is a pretty big situation that the Giants need to figure out, because as that last caller just said, you don't want to get Eli hurt. You know, him and Peyton Manning, maybe it's a family thing. They're just not the best scramblers when it comes to mobile quarterbacks in the NFL, and you need to make sure that Eli Manning's blind side is protected. This is a big deal, and it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out.
Well, that's why it's such a notable loss that they lose a guy who has been at that left tackle position consistently. As you mentioned, he got hurt in the season finale in 2013 against the Redskins, and nobody knew exactly the timetable in which he would return. You know, people were wondering, is he going to go on a pup? Is he going to be back for week one? And Will Beatty recovered, got out there last season, and was one of the consistent options on the left side of the offensive line. Now, all of a sudden, he goes down. Now you have to look for other options. And as the last caller, Javon, noted, you know, the question that the Giants, one of the things they're going to have to debate amongst themselves, the front office, the coaching staff, you know, do we want to put a rookie in that position day one? Or do we feel better putting in an established veteran? So that's why Justin Pugh is always an option, because he has experience at left tackle in college, and he has experience here in the NFL. Not necessarily a left tackle, but experience. And when it comes to the blind side, more often than not, you want to put somebody with experience in that position. And that's why guys like Pugh, guys like Newhouse, at least in the game of speculation, are thrown out first before perhaps they go in the direction of Flowers. But for all we know, you know, Flowers commands that position day one, earns the respect of his teammate, earns the respect of the coaching staff, and they feel good about sliding him at the position that he played all those years at Miami. He did also, remember, have time at right tackle at Miami too. So he does bring some versatility to the table, and that's why he's an option to go on the opposite side.
Yeah.
201-939-4513 is the telephone number. Let's head back to the phone lines. Keith is in Kentucky. Keith, what's happening?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Doing well, Keith. What do you have for us?
Yeah, I just want to want y'all comments, man. I got like a philosophy.
Okay.
You play like you practice. When Will Beatty had his breakout year, it was 2011, so did JPP. That wasn't a coincidence. When Justin Pugh had his little rookie thing and he had his breakout year, he was going against Justin Tuck. Last year, if you take Justin Tuck away, you downgrade the Kiwi, so you get a subpar Pugh. You know, JPP, he had a bounce back here, so did Will Beatty. I don't think those are coincidences. I think whoever you put at left tackle, Pugh or Flowers, not saying they're not going to have their ups and downs, but I do think if JPP's 100, you're going to get 100% out of whoever the left tackle is. Even though Flowers will make rookie mistakes, I still think the kid can probably do it. He will have those bruises. We got to remember, Smith from the Cowboys, he started day one, left tackle. It has been done, and it can be done. What do y'all think about that?
Well, I think it's always an option to put the rookie at the starting left tackle position. But, you know, whenever you bring up other examples in the National Football League, I don't think that's necessarily a rule of thumb. Just because Tyron Smith, very early in his career, got an opportunity doesn't mean all of a sudden that the Giants should follow the same format, because every team deals with its own injuries and deals with its own situations. For example, Jake Matthews last year was one of the highest offensive linemen taken. If Sam Baker doesn't go down, Keith, at left tackle, he stays at right tackle the entire season. They penciled Jake Matthews in at the right tackle. The only reason why he moved to left is because all of a sudden they lose their starting left tackle. So that's why I think everybody takes a different path over to perhaps the left side to protect the blind side of the quarterback. And just because one team did it doesn't mean all of a sudden another team has to do it.
There's some pros and some cons here. Number one, first and foremost, you got to like the system. Bless you. You got to like the system that Flowers came from. right? I mean, listen, you're playing under Nick Saban. He's running a pro-style offense. And then also, you can argue most competitive conference in college. I think he went up against some really, really talented defensive linemen. So that's the positive there is the program where Flowers came from, okay? But no matter how many offensive linemen I've spoken to, there is a transition. There is a learning process. There are moves that offensive linemen will learn here in the NFL and moves against him that he's never even seen from NFL players. And so, and that is a 2 to 3 year process. So, you know, that's the negative here is that no matter how good you are, no matter how great of a system you come from, the learning curve for an offensive lineman, learning the playbook, understanding how to execute, but then also understanding the nuances of taking that leap from being a college to a professional lineman and what to expect and what's going to come his way. Do you want to risk that? I guess the question is, there's no doubt about his talent, his athleticism, his skill level, where he comes from. But do you want to risk that learning curve, him possibly being schooled in more than just one game? Where you are risking the thought of Eli Manning. I'm a lot more comfortable with Flowers at the right tackle position than I am at the left tackle position this year. Maybe you move him over next year. Maybe that's a transition next year. But this year, that would frighten me.
Keith, the other thing I wanted to add before I let you continue, I just looked it up to clarify because I wasn't 100% sure if what you said was accurate. Tyron Smith started at right tackle his entire rookie season. Doug Free, they moved over to left tackle. So he actually did not take over at left tackle until his second year in the NFL.
Wow, I thought he started at left.
No.
Well,
yeah, he started right.
That's fine. Cause, I mean, I really prefer him to start at right and then move to left because I think Pugh is more of a finesse tackle anyway. I didn't even see why we moved him to right tackle. But that's just me. He's too finesse. He doesn't have enough he's not strong enough to move those guys at right tackle.
Well, you
so
moved
I think
him
he would
over
do well at left tackle.
Keith,
that's
you
just me.
You moved him over to right tackle because you had Will Beatty. I mean, that was basically the main reason as to why you had to move him to the right side because
right.
you already were
well,
set
I mean,
at left.
I know, but he just wasn't a right tackle to me. That's just what I see, you know. But thanks for the call.
You got it, Keith. Appreciate the phone call. Thanks so much for weighing in. And rookies getting thrown into left tackle, I think, are pretty rare. I mean, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but there are a lot of players that played left tackle in college for a few years. It's not as if they played 1 year and then all of a sudden, voila. They tend to start on the right side, Anita, before all of a sudden they move over to the left side. So, I mean, if the Giants did go in that direction, I don't think it would be a unique move. The other thing to note, you know, Tom Coughlin's been on the record, and he says this all the time, Anita. Rookies, if they're first-round picks, if they're second-round picks, if they're seventh-round picks, everybody comes in, they have to earn a starting spot. So that's why I go back to the whole preface, the whole conversation about how you're a first-round pick, you have to be in as a starter day one. 99% of the time, they're going to get the best opportunity to start, but they still have to earn it. And Eric Flowers is going to be treated like every other rookie. You go in there, you compete. If you're one of the best five offensive linemen, you start. If not, then they take additional time to get you up the ladder on the depth chart when you're ready and comfortable to take over.
Yeah, but unfortunately, because of this injury to Beatty, you know, I think that there's going to be a little bit more leniency in that regard because of the need for him to step up, the need for him to, I mean, what, just a few weeks ago we were sitting here, you and I, discussing, well, is he even going to start? Is he even going to be a starter on the offensive line? Because of this injury to Will Beatty, I have no doubt he will be a starter on the offensive line. The question now is, where will he play?
Well, I think the urgency factor
changes. Exactly.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I think the urgency factor changes with Will Beatty getting hurt. If Will Beatty's still around, now we have a number of different players that we're probably talking about in terms of arrangements and so forth. Now that Beatty's hurt, you know, maybe perhaps you move him along the line of progression a little bit quicker than perhaps that you anticipated. But time will certainly tell. Let's head back to the phone lines here at 201-939-4513. David is in North Carolina. David, what's happening?
Hey, guys. How's it going? I was just going to comment on the O-line situation. It sounds like you guys are hitting on most of the high points. The main concern I was going to bring up is I'm like, some of the comments that you guys have been saying, I just don't believe that you can put a rookie on the left side. I was wanting Flowers to start this year, and I think that's the only good thing. I wanted him to start right away, and I think that's the only positive that comes from this injury. Like Anita said, I have no doubt he will start now. But, you know, we keep talking about it's good to have guys that can play multiple positions, but I think sometimes that's a little bit overrated. Unfortunately, it's kind of like a utility player in baseball. You know, you get a guy like, for instance, Martin Prado, who – you know, it's great to have those guys on their team, but I think it's better to get a guy in a position and let him play there. And I really hope that they put Flowers at right tackle, and if he takes some bumps, he takes some bumps. And if their plan is to put Justin Pugh as a guard, let's go ahead and put him at guard now and let him get underway. But I just feel like if they didn't let Weston Richburg play center last year, there's just no way they're going to put a rookie on the left side and to protect Eli Manning. I think, unfortunately, it may not be the name we want to hear, but I think unless he just can't get the job done, I think Gabe Newhouse, being in McAdoo's system before, unfortunately, is probably going to be our left tackle this year unless he just can't get the job done and they have to, as a last resort, put Pugh over there.
Well, I would not be surprised if they went in the direction of a veteran player, given the fact that you mentioned it's unusual for rookies to be thrown in that position. Plus, you want somebody who has a little bit more experience protecting Eli Manning's blind side. It could be that. Could be Justin Pugh moved back to the left side. I mean, that's an option, too. He's also considered a veteran. I think that they have multiple players that they could turn to put in that position during OTAs, during training camp, and see who is the most comfortable in that spot. I mean, that's their best option right now. The positive, you know, the earlier caller mentioned that it's a blessing in disguise for Beattie to go down. Completely disagree with that. I would say if there's any positive to this injury happening, Nita, it's the fact that it happened early. So now you have a little bit more time to jockey with where you put players as opposed to this happening like Schwartz got hurt late in the preseason. Then all of a sudden you're like, okay, now we got to move Richburg into the guard spot and everybody's got to get comfortable in a different spot.
Yeah, and on top of that, you're looking at either a 5 or 6 month rehab process. So fingers crossed, if the Giants can just like stay in it to win it, hopefully they get him back in November, mid-November, beginning of December, where we know how competitive that NFC East division is. We know what it's going to come down to. In my opinion, this season is going to take no less than 10 games, 10 wins to get in. And the Giants could very well be in a position where they've got to win the last three or win the last two. And hopefully, fingers crossed, BD will be available then.
David, appreciate the phone call. Thanks so much for weighing in.
Here's a tweet really quick
I
want to throw out. This is from Big Dash 07088. Because we've been spending a lot of time obviously talking about the Will Beattie injury and what the Giants might do with the offensive line position. So we're saying that Pugh, with no NFL left tackle experience, is better potentially than Flowers at left tackle. Pretty much, yeah. That's what I'm saying. Even though he hasn't had left tackle experience, Giants do believe that he can play the position. How well? Well, obviously, only time will tell. But I'd rather have a veteran lineman in there playing that left tackle position than a rookie. Just my opinion. Not sure where you stand on it.
Well, I would agree with you, but I don't think you can look at it, going back to the tweet by Big Dash, that it's just the lack of experience at left tackle. It's NFL experience. There's a distinct difference between having NFL experience, regardless of what side on the line you are, as opposed to having a rookie who is going against college players throughout the majority of his career, and now all of a sudden has to get his first taste at the pace of the game, the level of pass rushers that he's going up against. So I think Pugh gets an edge because he has NFL experience. You can't necessarily look at it, well, you're right, Pugh doesn't necessarily have NFL experience at left tackle, but he has NFL experience, and I think that would give an edge over a rookie, even though he has just as much experience at left tackle at the collegiate level.
Yeah, so at the end of the day, we're pretty much saying the same thing. 2-3 years from now, I think we're in agreement that we feel that the Flowers will be the best left tackle option this organization has. But for right now, because he's a rookie, unfortunately, that's not the case. So I see him starting at the right tackle position and then possibly moving over to left tackle in 2 or 3 years from now. Not sure exactly how the Giants move forward in regard to Will Beattie's contract either. So we'll see.
We'll continue to take your phone calls at 201-939-4513. You can also chime in at hashtag Giants Chat. Sticking with Twitter, Anita, Ben Gruen at Gruen Ben writes in, the Giants don't have a right tackle problem. They have a left tackle problem. So how does Jeff Schwartz moving help left tackle pew to guard doesn't help now. I mean, it really depends on how the Giants envision the strengths of these offensive linemen. You know, you look at moving Schwartz to right tackle. How would that help left tackle? Somebody else is going to have to move into the left tackle spot, and then somebody else is going to have to move into a guard spot. So, you know, I mean, immediately, does it help the left tackle spot? It would help the left tackle spot if the person that you put in that new spot is ready to go day one. I mean, that's how it all of a sudden helps, because, you know, it's not so much treating the individual positions. I think getting back to what I mentioned earlier in the show, Anita, you want to find five guys that are comfortable next to one another, too. You know, that's an important element. If you look at the last few years, the Giants, plagued by so many injuries, sometimes the five that lined up in week two, Anita, would be a different five than lined up in week three. And that, regardless of whether you have a lot of experience on your line, it's hard to gain chemistry in the span of 1 week.
It is. And you know, it's one thing to look on your roster and say, okay, here are my best five offensive linemen. And you could position them in, you can but if the chemistry doesn't evolve between the five of them, and it's hard to put your finger on or to define what chemistry means between five offensive linemen, but it's something very special and it's something very unique. But those five, your top best physically gifted linemen might not be the best cohesive unit as maybe another player who's not as physically gifted but fits that kind of that team. Because I do look at the offensive line. Those five starters, they're kind of their own team. And so it's interesting. It's interesting how that develops. And of course, it develops over time. It develops over training camp. It develops during the season. Sometimes an offensive line, you know, starting the season might obviously not as good as towards the end of the season because they're growing, they're developing, their communication changes. So, you know, it's like I said, I think it's going to be a work in progress. What's the schedule like? Let's go through the schedule really quick. So, Dallas, Atlanta, Washington, Buffalo. Buffalo's going to be tough. San Francisco, they've lost all their defensive players. They've all retired.
Well, they have some depth. Guys getting healthy.
I was being funny. So let's say out of those first five games, because it takes a good 3 to 5 games to really kind of find your identity each and every season in the NFL. So out of those five opponents, at Dallas, Atlanta, Washington, at Buffalo I think is going to be tough, especially at Buffalo, but thank God they're playing in October, not December. And then San Francisco, out of those, I'm probably more worried about the Dallas and Washington game, and not just because they're NFC East opponents, but you know, the physicality when you go up against an NFC East opponent obviously is elevated when you talk about those three teams that they face.
Well, the schedule is very top heavy with divisional opponents, so that I think makes those games a priority because you don't want to lose those divisional games because of tiebreakers in situations that may play out down the road. That's why those games are important, regardless of what injuries they may be dealing with at the time and so forth. But if you want to look at it, how it may impact the offensive line.
Yeah, I guess my question to you is what's the one game out of the top five that really scares you in regard to a defensive line, defensive game plan that maybe the Giants won't be ready for? For me, it's Buffalo at Buffalo. I think Rex Ryan, I think this Buffalo defense is going to be ridiculous. But who scares you the most?
Well, I would agree. I think Buffalo because of their pass rush. And assuming that the unit stays intact and they don't suffer any major injuries, the Bills were up there in sacks last season. They weren't the best getting to the quarterback. So if that unit, as I mentioned, doesn't necessarily have any issues that they have to deal with in the early stages of the season, they should be in very good shape to pick up where they left off from last season. Now, you look at the depth chart for the Buffalo Bills, and they didn't necessarily have a major loss in free agency. Now, they got a number of guys that can easily get to the quarterback, whether it be their linebacking core or whether it be their front group. And Darius is going to be suspended for the first game of the season, I believe, but he'll be back in time. Jerry Hughes, who they locked up at the linebacker spot, he's been very strong. Mario Williams. You look at their front group with Kyle Williams as well. They got a number of guys that are going to put a great deal of pressure on the offensive line. So that would certainly be the team that I would focus on, at least in the first quarter, if you want to treat the schedule by quarters.
Yeah, absolutely.
Falcons weren't necessarily known for their pass rush last season, and the Cowboys were not known for their pass rush last season. The Redskins dealt with a number of injuries. Brian Arakpo was hurt. He's no longer with the team. Ryan Kerrigan is still there, but, you know, up and down in terms of their pass rush. So in terms of resume alone, Anita, Buffalo is the one team that comes back with everybody pretty much intact. And a very strong pass rush.
Look at this. One, two, okay, so one, two, three, four, five, six, seven. First 7 weeks, Giants have one, two, three, four. First 7 weeks, Giants have four NFC East opponents twice against Dallas.
I said those games are very close together.
Unbelievable.
Early in the season. That's why everybody talks about, you know, what games are important when you start to evaluate a schedule. I always say every game is important because there's only 16, and you can't afford to go on a losing streak. But this season, if you're really to break down and analyze, given the fact that, as you just counted, you have so many divisional opponents early, you know, if you don't take care of business in those divisional games, then obviously the importance of these other games late in the season skyrockets, because if you need to make up some ground, you're going to have to win all of those games outside the division.
Really quick here, I know we're mentioning facing Dallas twice in the first 7 weeks. Jason Lockenfora from CBSSports.com has come out, I guess, like the Giants and all the other 31 teams, their OTAs are this week as well. And Adrian Peterson is not going to attend the Minnesota Vikings OTA. And Jason Lockenfora has an article out kind of similar to kind of what we saw with Barry Sanders, where Barry Sanders didn't want to play for the Detroit Lions anymore. They weren't willing to let him go or have him play for another team, so he retired. Jason Lockenfora is saying retirement is not off the table. Now, if I'm and the reason I bring this up is because there's been a lot of talk about Adrian Peterson landing with the Dallas Cowboys. And there's also some talk that, you know, Jerry Jones might be willing to give up a 2016 first-round draft pick in exchange for Adrian Peterson. And where I'm going here with this is, If you've got a guy that's this disgruntled, if you've got a player that's just hates an organization, is really lost, in my opinion, a town, a city, fans in Minnesota, why, you know, get something for him. Get something for him. This whole situation, this whole scenario is mind-boggling to me. It really is.
Well, I think it depends on where his market value is right now. Remember, the draft is over, so most teams that needed a running back already solved that.
Would you give up a 2016 first-round draft pick, if you were the Dallas Cowboys, knowing how good their offensive line is, to bring in arguably one of the best running backs in the history of the NFL to run behind that offensive line to try to win a Super Bowl in 2015? Is bringing in Adrian Peterson, is it worth a first-round draft pick? For me, yeah, it is. I would give up a 2016 first-round draft pick.
Assuming that's all it's going to cost you, though, remember. I mean, you probably have to maybe give up even more than just a 2016 first-round pick. Once again, I don't know what the Vikings are going to ask for in a situation like that. I know Dallas, based on the rumors and reports, has been trying out a number of different running backs over the last week, so they're still exploring their options. They didn't necessarily address it in the draft as many people expected. They went and focused on other positions. But, I mean, I think at this point it depends on how much do you have to give up for him. And remember, Adrian Peterson, while I still think he's one of the best running backs in the league, he's up there in age. He didn't play last season. He has some injury history. These are the things at least you're considering if you're going to give up those type of assets. Remember, the Cowboys' philosophy changed over the last few years, Anita, where, you know, instead of giving up picks, remember that Roy Williams trade? Mm-hmm. You know, they gave up a lot for him. They decided we're going to retain picks. We're going to invest in youth. Now, every team has a different philosophy. I don't know. Was that a change in culture? Would they then flip back to their old approach, which is let's go after the superstar and give up draft picks? I mean, I think those are the types of questions you have to ask yourself if you want to go down that route. But that speculation is going to be there now that there's reports that he may not show up for OTAs this week.
Right.
And there's not as many teams outside of Dallas that are interested or in the market for running back, because you go through all the teams that drafted running backs, a lot of teams addressed that in the draft. There were a number of running backs that went because obviously it was a position of depth. So if you felt, hey, I got a guy on a rookie contract, I'll grab him, as opposed to giving up a lot of picks or big money to grab Adrian Peterson. Plus, remember, based on the reports, Peterson still has 3 years left on his contract. So not only do you take him on for this year, you take him on for the years moving forward. That's another factor I think that a number of teams will take.
I want to say I think he's due $12.75 million in 2016. So that would be obviously a pretty big cap number to fill.
Absolutely.
Especially at the running back position, where teams today feel that you know, they can get by with a running back and not having such a big salary hit on their cap in regard to the running back position, more so obviously with the quarterback, defensive line, and corner. So,
Few more minutes left of the program. You can still get us on the phone lines at 201-939-4513, 201-939-4513. In the meantime, let's continue to check out Twitter. I know a lot of people weighing in on the offensive line topic that we have certainly broken down from many different angles throughout the course of this program. Ben Z at Big Ben underscore Z. Let Flowers go through camp. Let Flowers, go through camp and prove he can do it at left tackle. NFL success is about opportunity. This is a giant one. I would agree with you, Ben. This is a huge opportunity for a rookie. And I go back to, you know, what we were talking about, Anita, a few weeks ago when we were debating, you know, do you have a first-round pick come in? This is going to be potentially the third straight year that a Giants rookie offensive lineman could very well slide into a starting position, but as a result of injury. Not necessarily that they single-handedly were penciled in day one. As I referenced earlier in the show, Deal got hurt right before the start of the regular season 2 years ago. Pugh takes over for him. Last year, Schwartz goes down late in the preseason. Richburg takes over for him. Now, Beedy goes down. Flowers, if he gets penciled in or he wins that job, he'd be the third straight rookie offensive lineman to take over. So, as Ben on Twitter wrote, you know, this is a huge opportunity for a rookie to come in and come in and realize, hey, before we even get to physical activity, you know, there's a starting job staring at me right in the face. Not many rookies walk into that. They may walk into a position where they got to beat out a veteran. Flowers, it's a little different story here now.
No, and let me tell you something. If I'm Flowers, you know, not that you wish ill will on anyone, let alone a teammate, to provide an opportunity for you, but you're right. I mean, how many offensive linemen come in, first-round draft pick, with an opportunity to really shine and prove that they're worthy and they can handle that position? And I think it would be great if the Giants gave him the opportunity to win that left tackle position. But again, based on the number of years that I've covered the NFL, the number of players, especially the offensive linemen that I've spoken to, there's just so much to learn from that leap and that transition. And because Eli is not the most mobile quarterback, and let's face it, Eli goes down, team's just not the same, you know? And so there's just a really big concern there. I think it would be a really big leap of faith for this organization to start Flowers on the left tackle position. I think it would be a really big leap of faith.
I think it comes down to his comfort zone. Comfort zone at the position. Comfort zone with the offense. Remember, he's learning a new offense too. It's funny how, Anita, whenever we talk about a rookie offensive lineman, we talk about the adjustment from college to the NFL. Well, how about an adjustment from the Miami offense to all of a sudden the Ben McAdoo Giants offense? That's another huge adjustment in addition to some of the off-the-field changes, moving to a new city, a new town. I mean, there's a lot that he's dealing with before you even get into the nuts and the bolts on the X's and O's front. And it's no different than what typical rookies have to deal with in year number one. But, you know, if you then throw him into a position where now, and not only is he learning all of these new things, but you got to make sure that Eli Manning stays upright. You got to make sure that you are bringing your A game every single week. The margin for error is minute because if Eli Manning gets hit, you know, who knows what could very well happen. I think that's so much additional pressure on a rookie, and these are probably the types of things that you at least need to weigh if you were to make a pro and con list of sliding in a rookie to the left tackle position.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and here's another thing is, you know, the Giants have arguably one of the best offensive line coaches in the NFL. So that's a big key as well. I was reading a tweet, and I apologize, don't recall who it's from, but they had said that wherever Flowers is, you need to make sure Jeff Schwartz is next to him. Totally agree with that as well. I think that was probably one of the best tweets of the day. You know, because he's young, because this is his first season, Jeff Schwartz is a real verbal, very talkative kind of player. He's going to be in his ear. He's going to be helping him out. I know Jeff Schwartz is thrilled that the Giants went out and drafted Flowers, and he's here. So I'm with you. Regardless, let's say hypothetically speaking, you know, Flowers does end up on the right side or left side tackle, whatever tackle position. I think you're absolutely right. I think Jeff Schwartz needs to be the guard next to Flowers.
Well, it would certainly help to have a veteran next to a rookie who's coming in and getting his first taste of this system as well as the NFL. Now, Schwartz last year was penciled in to play left guard. Fortunately, he got hurt. And then remember, when he came back, he went to right tackle in that Cowboys game before he then got hurt again. he can play in a variety of different positions. That's the benefit of somebody like Jeff Schwartz. So if they feel for the sake of comfort, you move Flowers to left tackle, you want to make sure that you have a veteran guard next to him. Do you keep left Schwartz at left guard? I mean, that maybe is something that enters the conversation. The good news is, and we get back to something that we threw out on this program time and time again, a number of the offensive linemen that are in the mix that are going to be competing have played multiple positions. Some have been on multiple sides of the offensive line. Guy like Jeff Schwartz, he tops the list. I mean, I can't think of another offensive lineman, Anita, that has played in just about nearly every position on the offensive line with the exception of heavy experience at center and left tackle.
Well, we talked about it earlier. You know, that's a really big key in regard to what the Giants look at when they go out and they bring in, whether it's players in free agency or an added element in regard to drafting a player. So this is a big reason why. And it's not just this year. Even the last year that they won the Super Bowl, when Booth moved to the center position, that was so crucial, was so key. He was such a big reason why the Giants did so well, and in my opinion, helped them win a Super Bowl. So, my heart goes out to Will Beatty again. Hopefully, you know, he'll recover quickly. The Giants will have him back in November. But starting tomorrow, are you coming out here tomorrow? Are you going to be watching the OTAs tomorrow?
I'm not exactly sure. I got to maybe work out something with my schedule.
Okay.
Not positive yet.
So I will be out here. I'm actually hosting with Paul Zatino tomorrow prior to – well, actually, I want to say practice begins. Hold on.
Well, I have the schedule up here.
Wait a minute. Practice begins at 11:20. But by the time that we hit air at noon, maybe we'll have an idea. Maybe
report.
John Schmoke could text us, and so we'll have an idea tomorrow in regard to how things are lining up, and have a better, feel for what the organization wants to do with those starting five.
And I think it also depends on who is in the mix tomorrow. As I mentioned, there's a few offensive linemen that are coming off injuries. I don't know what the Giants' game plan is to throw them into the mix in day number one. So while somebody may be a left tackle, there could be different players at guards and on the opposite end of the side on right because everybody's not 100% ready to go to take part in full OTAs. So that certainly could influence the alignment for tomorrow. Before we close up shop here, I think it's important to at least note some of the other storylines to watch out for tomorrow, because while the offensive line is a big story, it's only just one position. And, you know, we talked earlier about the safety position. It'll also be the first look at who gets out there between the mix of the veterans and the safeties. If you go back to rookie minicamp, you know, Landon Collins, he wowed everybody in rookie minicamp. He was out there. He was vocal. He moved around. You know, they're really treating him more of left and right safety as opposed to strong
And free
at this point, so I don't think we could get caught up in those type of labels. But Nat Burhey and Cooper Taylor, now they're going to be on the field with Landon Collins at the same time. Do you see a veteran and a rookie? Do you see two veterans? You know, that's going to be interesting to see that type of alignment, because there are jobs to be won at safety. As much as we want to get caught up at the offensive line, Anita, right now it is open season at the safety position, considering you lost both of your starters last year.
But if you do want to kind of put a label, I see Collins more of a strong safety than a free safety. But, yeah, I mean, that's another one of the positions that will have a competitive feel to it and an excitement about it. I find it interesting because here we are, we're talking about, all right, you know, Flowers, right, left tackle. I think we kind of get a sense, though, regardless of where Flowers might land, right, regardless of where Pugh might play, regardless of, you know, how the five work out, I think at the end of the day, I think Giants fans are pretty confident that they'll have a good offensive line, regardless of how it shapes up, right? It's not going to be the worst offensive line in the NFL. You know, Eli's not going to get, like, just totally destroyed each and every play. I think that there is a confidence level. Obviously, you want it to be a great offensive line, right? But I think that it still has the makings of being a good offensive line. The safety position, I don't know. I've got a lot more concerns. For me, in looking at a position on this roster, the one that I'm more fearful of is being kind of one of the worst in the NFL is the safety position. So that's the one, even though it's, you know, the competition is going to be there, that's the one that I feel is most important in the sense of trying to raise the level in regard to everything else. I mean, Bucky Brooks came out on NFL Network. He's got the Giants wide receiving core ranked 5th overall in the NFL. Who's before him? Green Bay, Denver, the Colts, and the Lions. He also has a report out. You can find this on Giants.com, mind you. Top 10, or he ranked all the quarterbacks. Eli's in the top 10. He's got Eli at 9. This is interesting. A debate for another day, maybe. He's got Tony Romo and Russell Wilson in front of him. How about this? He's got his brother, Peyton Manning, behind him, which I find pretty interesting. So, you know, you look and you evaluate each position based on the other 31 teams. When you look at the safety position, that's the one that I feel might, because of the uncertainty of it and drafting a rookie that's going to have to start in the NFL back there in Spags' defense, is the one that I think has the most concern in regard to how will it equate as one of the top 32 in the NFL, will it?
Well, at least the positive from the Giants' perspective is you have the Redskins and the Eagles, who are also working out some issues at the safety position, too. Washington has completely revamped its safeties, given the injuries that they've suffered. They brought in Deshaun Goldson. They also have Jerron Johnson from the Seattle Seahawks. And the Eagles have Malcolm Jenkins, and they brought in some new corners. But who gets slid into that other safety position, I think, is going to be a battle that's going to play out in camp, because Nate Allen, who they had last season, he signed with the Oakland Raiders, so who does Philadelphia turn to? Right now they have Earl Wolfe penciled in as their other safety. Doesn't necessarily mean that he's going to win the job. So I think there's some uncertainty in the division as a whole. Dallas is really the only team bringing back both of its starting safeties from last season. As you mentioned, getting back to your point, Anita, you're right. You don't just look at it internally from the Giants' perspective, but you look at it, hey, you know what? There's teams around us that we're going to play twice a year that have just as many question marks and just as many position battles as we do heading into OTAs and heading into camp. So I think when you look at the Giants compared to the rest of the division, I don't think there's a huge disparity. I think there's a number of other teams that have just as much uncertainty or question marks regarding maybe their secondary or perhaps another position of note that is going to certainly impact how this season plays out. But safety and offensive line, certainly two spots that are going to get a lot of rotation, a lot of discussion out of the first few days of OTAs. And as usual, we will cover it all here on Big Blue Kickoff Live each and every weekday for the remainder of the week, getting started at noon Eastern. You can continue to send in your tweets to hashtag Giants Chat. We'll continue to take your phone calls as well. Certainly a lot to talk about as the week progresses. For Anita Marks, I'm Lance Meadow. We'll speak to you tomorrow. Have a good one.
Oh, here we go, here we go. Here we go. Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Got through on the field. He's got through. 35-30.
Want to get no punt. Well, intercepted.